All right, good morning. Welcome to the Friday Devotional. I'll just open us up in prayer and we'll start. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this Friday, for getting us up in the morning to come and to worship you and to hear your word and to spend time in prayer. I pray that you'll bless this time. Use my lips and just use this time devotional to speak to our hearts. May your word just be refreshing to us this morning. We thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you can turn to your journey books today, Friday 15th, I'll read the passage today, which is from Luke chapter 5, and then I'll also read the devotional as well. So page 16. Oops, page 14. Title of today's devotional from the writer is called Meet My Best New Friend. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Once when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. "Go," he said, "and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony to them." But now more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases, but he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. One day while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and led him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who was paralyzed, "I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your home." Immediately he stood up before them, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes had complained to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Given an option, many of us would not enjoy being with questionable characters or sinners, let alone dine or fellowship with them. Would such association taint our reputation? What good would it do? Such people are set in their ways. They won't listen to me anyway. We tend not only to shun obvious sinners, but also those who do not share our core values and convictions, or are not religiously correct. When I was little, I learnt this Chinese proverb: if you draw near the light, you become light. If you draw near the dark, you become dark. I.e., stay away from the bad guys. But here we see Jesus asking a questionable character to follow him. In turn, Levi invites a whole gang of despicable tax collectors and sinners to meet his new best friend. What a great uproar this caused among the pious Pharisees. Jesus saw beyond the crusty exteriors of Levi and his like. He perceived a glimmer in them that wanted to break free from darkness, but did not know how. Carrying overflowing forgiveness, abundant grace and mercy, the light of the world sought out the woman at the well, and a notorious woman, perhaps like today's Heidi Fleiss. Jesus called Zacchaeus to descend from the tree. Was he in some ways like today's Bernard Madoff, the all-time scammer? Were we not all once called out of darkness into the light? Amen. All right, so what I'm going to do, I'll just share a few points on devotion that I, a few comments, and I'll go through some parts of the scripture which sort of spoke to me and I want to share with you. Firstly, just really looking at the reflection points, I'll just read those out, but what are ways you can reveal the light of Christ in your work, home with friends? How can we discern when and how to confront darkness in others? When we do, how do we ensure that we're loving enough, do so effectively and strong enough not to be pushed back ourselves? I was reminded, actually, when reading this scripture again, especially the last bit where Jesus proclaims that it's not the sick who need a doctor. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. There's a devotional I read a while ago where there's a discourse between the writer of the devotional and his friend, and they were basically saying something like, talking about faith, talking about, you know, life of sin, and it came to a point where the writer of the devotional really felt that he had an unction to preach the gospel. But given the way the conversation was going, he didn't really know what to say. So I think he just prayed, and he basically said this, and it went something along the lines of, okay, so where do sinners go? And this was his line into this discussion. And so his friend, who is a devout non-Christian, said, oh, I've heard this one before, you know, sinners go to hell. You know, I know, I'm a sinner, I'm going to go to hell. But the actual writer of the devotional actually said, no, actually sinners go to church. And I think this really changed the perspective of the listener of that. He was like, oh, no one's ever said that to me before. So all they have ever heard in terms of their message was, if you sin, you know, you're going to go to hell. If you sin, you're going to be under God's wrath. But no one ever really heard the message of grace and the message of, no, it's actually all of us who are in this place, all of us who come to church, we come because we're fallen, we're broken, we're sinners. And it's because we need a savior, we need a healer like Jesus Christ, which is why we're in this place. And you know, it reminded me of Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, it's by grace we have been saved through faith, and this not from ourselves, it's a gift of God. And also, as Jesus demonstrated, you know, each and every one of us who come into this place, we come out of an area of sickness. You know, we know in various interactions with Jesus, he's the great healer, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual. And we all know in many aspects that we have sin in our lives, and yet we come to this place to really receive that healing. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in Romans 5, Paul goes on to really give his powerful word, saying, God demonstrates his own love for us. You know, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's just a nice reminder again, you know, Jesus didn't come here to hang out with all the religious leaders. He didn't come out here to hang out with people that were whole, hang out with people that had it all together. But he came here to really just heal the wounded. And each of us and every one of us have those sorts of wounds in our lives. And as I say, I'm sure we can testify to how God and Jesus healed us in many ways. A couple of other things I just want to share is sort of in the first part, where there's a discourse between Jesus and Peter in the boat. I know in the previous chapter, Jesus really began his ministry, and I think the people were amazed that he spoke with authority and power, and they're like, you know, who is this guy, and you know, he was drawing crowds, and so it comes to this scene with Peter. I know many of us can relate to Peter in many ways. You know, there are times in our lives where we have passion and faith, we ready to walk on water, you know, if God or Jesus calls us to, and there's other times where we're just down, and you know, and we just don't want to admit that we're a Christian, or we just don't want to testify to the love of God in our lives. And yet, you know, Peter again is in this place where he was fishing all night, he was doing his daily job, and caught nothing. And yet there was Jesus. And so, you know, the first bit, Jesus out in his boat, and he's teaching to the crowd. So Peter's obviously watching this thinking, wow, you know, the crowds are being drawn in, he's being ministered to. And then it comes to the stage where, you know, Jesus speaks to him and says, you know, have you caught any fish, or what's going on? And, you know, Peter hasn't done anything all night. And so Jesus gives him this advice. And I'm sure Peter, purely out of obedience, just says, okay, I'll give it a go. I'll put my nets out and see what happens. And as we know, you know, they caught so many fish, they had to get other fishermen, and the boats were sinking. But then the one interesting thing that really struck me was Peter's response. It wasn't like, "Wow, this is awesome. Praise God, praise Jesus, I've caught all this fish." But his initial response was, basically, "Get away from me, Jesus, I'm a sinful man." And I was just wondering on that and thinking, wow, how many times when we are in a situation where we've come to our wits' end and we cry out to God and he provides a miracle, our first response is, "I'll praise you, God, it's awesome. You know, you've answered my prayer, you've performed this miracle." And yet Peter was different. And so I was just trying to reflect on that, thinking, why would his words be, you know, "Get away from me, Jesus, I'm a sinful man, you know, I don't have any right to be near you." And I guess I was just trying to put my sort of thoughts in or trying to transpose Peter's thoughts into mine. And as I was sort of just meditating, I recognized stuff like, maybe there's an area of pride and arrogance. You know, in his external, he said, "Yeah, Jesus, I'll do this." But his internal, he's thinking, "Hey, I'm the experienced fisherman. You're just a rabbi. You know, what is it that you can teach me that I don't already know about my profession?" And when it came to seeing this massive sort of harvest of fish, I guess, you know, God just spoke to him and said, "Hey, you know, you said yes on the outside, but on the inside you were just prideful. You're probably very lacking in faith, very sort of unbelieving in the words that Jesus was saying." And I recognize that in my seasons of my life as well, where a lot of times I'll say, you know, "Yes, God, I believe this promise," or "I believe your word." But, you know, especially areas where I've sort of grown or more seasoned, whether it's in work or even in just like house church or things which I've done a lot of, you know, many, many times. I feel like, "Oh, I've done this a lot, God. You know, I'm sort of, I know what I'm doing." I recognize that pride creeps in. And though even Jesus or the Holy Spirit asks me to go in a different direction or tries to minister to me, although I'm saying yes on the outside, on the inside I'm like, "Well, you know, I know what I'm doing, God. I'll just do it this way and we'll go for it." And I like Jesus' response to Peter. You know, he wasn't like the other rabbis and leaders of that day where they wouldn't associate with sinners or whatnot. But he was different. He didn't go to Peter, "Hey, you know, you're a prideful man, go and rebuke you and go and give up your sin offerings, or, you know, you need to go and repent." But his response was purely, "Hey, come and become my disciple." You know, and I think that's this refreshing use for us, that God will use each and every one of us here in this room. He'll use each and every one of us in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in the midst of Peter's sort of self-reflection about how prideful and arrogant he was, how lacking faith he was. Jesus' response to that was, "Hey, you come and be my disciple." And if you know from what PU shared a few weeks ago, how much of an honor that was. You know, people sought out rabbis to be their Talmud and to really just follow them. But in this case, Jesus just saw through all his hurtfulness and brokenness and said, "Hey, come and follow me." And Peter's response was instant. You know, he just dropped everything and left. And so, you know, I just hope that encourages us. I pray that's an encouragement for us in that, whatever background we're from, you don't need to have a learned education. You don't need to be a teacher of the law or have gone to seminary or be a wonderful speaker or a powerful person of prayer. But that God can just use you. If you recognize where we are in his place, if you recognize, you know, the brokenness that we walk in, and if we're able to just to humble ourselves before him, he'll use each and every one of us. And as he did with Peter, he'll use each and every one of us powerfully, for his glory. He says, I know Paul says in 2 Corinthians, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And so, you know, even in our times of doubt, let's recognize we can turn to God and turn to Jesus, and he will use us in many ways. The second thing I just wanted to share from this sort of scriptures was the part about the guys bringing the paralyzed man before Jesus. This is a scriptures which I've got marked down in my diary. It's sort of verses 17-26, Luke 5. It's quite interesting how, in this case, there's a couple of points I just want to share. One is, I like the way the friends are so desperate to get the paralytic before Jesus. If you look, the room is crowded. And if you can imagine, like, basically imagine a guest speaker's here, this place is packed out, and someone literally busts a hole through the ceiling to get their friend to hear the word of God, to hear, to receive a healing, to hear a prophetic word. And I was just like, wow, how much, passion and motivation and just encouragement these friends were to this paralytic to say, no, we're going to do whatever it takes to get you in front of Jesus. We're going to do whatever it takes to get you to be healed. We're going to do whatever it takes to lay you at his feet and to receive his mercy and grace. And, you know, they go as far to dig into someone's roof and you know, break through the tiles to drop their friend right in front of Jesus. And that's encouraging for us when we pray. You know, when we pray, I pray we're able to really pray with that sort of passion. Well, that's a charge to myself, not only, but to us as we come here in the mornings, to see the things that are going on people's lives, you know, through the EMP PowerPoint prayer lists and stuff, and recognize that sometimes in seasons of our lives, we have to break through walls to get those prayer requests held before God, you know, to really sacrificially go out of our way and do things which maybe are not a sort of normal circumstances to really get our prayers heard and get those supplications before Christ. And the second thing I saw, which is one of the verses, it actually says at the bottom of page 15, Jesus saw their faith and he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. It wasn't the faith of the paralytic. You know, in so many cases we see in the healings of Jesus where he says, you know, your faith has healed you, to the woman with bleeding, to the deaf man or the blind man or whatever. He says, your faith has healed you. But in this case, he actually says, no, he saw the faith of the friends and he healed the paralytic. And again, I pray that this is encouragement for us. You know, for those members who we're praying for in our family or for healings, now, they may not know Christ. They may not know the loving power of Jesus and his amazing grace, but we do. And God and Jesus can see our faith and provide healing and restoration to those people that we're interceding for. And the final thing is, just on the reflection points, I know it talks about what are ways we can reveal the light in Christ, of Christ in our work, home, and friends, and how can we discern to confront darkness to others, and how do we know when to say the loving thing and not to say loving thing? I always like, just when I'm looking at stuff like this, just to try and be reminded by what Scripture says, and Jesus says it so clear to his disciples, you know, getting ready to go out and be sent out and speak to people. He says to them, do not worry about how you defend yourselves, what you'll say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say. And that's Luke 12, 11 and 12. You know, in those times, we just can ask God and say, hey, I'm spending having lunch with my work colleague. I am ministering to my family member. I really don't know what to say. I really don't know what to do. But Holy Spirit, please guide me and just have trust and faith that he will teach us what to say. And also one other final point is, Jesus always alludes that our sharing and the way we administer light is an act of our lives, not just an act of our words. In Matthew 5, it says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And so, you know, I hope as in this time of Lent, as we are sort of getting closer to Easter and stuff, as God gives you opportunities to share this amazing faith that we have, share this amazing Christ that we know, this amazing man called Jesus, that we can really let our light shine before men, that it's really not about just the words we say, but it's the actions that we do. It's the actions of love. It's the actions of offering out a helping hand when it's needed. It's not just purely about trying to preach the gospel, but it's about to really minister to people in where they are. And in the midst of that, you know, always ask the Holy Spirit to teach us what we should say. So on that point, as I think Jeff's leading us in a song of worship, why don't we just spend a moment on some reflection points and then we'll enter into our time of corporate prayer. It's just reflection points we have. You know, what are ways you can reveal the light of Christ in your work, home, with friends? And how can we discern when and how to confront darkness in others? And I pray in all times, as Paul says, that we pray. pray without ceasing, that we're always looking for the Holy Spirit's counsel, how to minister and how to lead people to Christ. And also, second thing I'd like you just to reflect on as we're worshiping is, how willing are you to get your prayers held before Jesus? Like these friends were, are you willing to break through someone's ceiling? You know, to really get that prayer request in front of God and get that prayer request at Jesus' foot. Are you willing to break through walls in many physical senses to get our prayers heard? So then on those points, why don't we just reflect as we spend this time in worship?
Lord, have your way in me.
Jesus, thank you for calling me out of darkness into your incredible light. I confess some darkness still lingers in me. Forgive me. I've often succumbed to passivity and not stood up for you before mockers and slanderers. Keep me strong so that your light in me will overcome the darkness in them. Help me draw near to you so that more and more of your light will flood my being. Open my eyes to see those around me who are yearning to come into your light. In Jesus' name. Before we start our corporate prayer, let's just pray for Pastors Dave and Diana Liu. They're the writers of devotional today. They're pastors of Joyful Harvest Fellowship. Let's just pray for them and their family. They have three sons and three daughters-in-law and three grandchildren, grandsons. Let's pray for their ministry, that it will flourish and that God will do amazing things through them and in them. Let's just cover Pastors Dave and Diana Liu and Joyful Harvest Fellowship. Pray for our members here at church. Let's pray for those who are going through cancer and chemo and transplants. Let's just cover them right now. For those who not only need to be healed physically but need a word of salvation. Let's pray especially for the members who they relate to, that as Jesus said, that they'll see the faith that they have, the faith that we have, and really bring that word of restoration to family members here in this place. Just cover the members of our community who have got infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing hand to come into their lives. Let's turn to our mission focus. Place the jobs. Let's cover those who are looking for work and just pray for God's grace to come and just provide Jehovah Jireh. Pray for our missions focus now. Let's really cover local churches, cover YWAM with SSI, Masters Beauty and Red Light District Outreach, Face to Face, Feed the Hungry and CSW. Let's just cover Hong Kong. Let's just pray for God's hand to be in this place, for all the churches, really just to be the salt and light in the city, and for those outreaches and ministries to administer God's love and grace. Let's also lift up to God the SP Missions Committee. Let's pray for P. Eugene as he leads that, for the members there, Jamie Donaldson, for John Kang, for Sarah, which is on for Q1 as the board liaison. Let's just pray that God really gives them wisdom and discernment about which trips to go on, which missionaries to support, how to just be just ever so loving and caring and prayerful in administering the funds effectively, and really for God to just target countries and people groups and ministries for SP to partner in this year and the years to come. Let's just pray for the Missions Committee. Let's lift up to God the local outreach team and the ministries there, for the community centre out in Sai Ying Pun, for that to be used amazingly and powerfully. For Igape, for there to be just amazing teaching. For the homeless ministry in St. Barnabas. Also for the Red Light District as well, for those teams going out. Let's just pray for our local outreach team and the ministries there. Let's just cover this nation of Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government. Let's pray that godly men and women rise up and they really just govern this nation, this city, with such righteousness and with such just hearts. Let's pray for the wealth gap. Let's pray that, you know, in many ways that can be reduced and there'll be less people in need. Let's pray for revival in this city, that we're a city on a hill, and especially as we have this religious freedom here, that we can truly be a light to China and be a conduit for China to come to know Jesus more and more as well. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's continue to remember our 10th anniversary weekend. Let's pray for Pastor Danny and Julie as they come in from the States, that they get it well and restfully with no issues, that their logistics go well that weekend with the conferences and the marriage seminars and the single seminars and the banquet as well. And let's pray for God's favor in that place, that we have a weekend of thanksgiving, of recognizing his faithfulness to us here as a church and a ministry throughout these last 10 years, and to also just be able to celebrate and just appreciate one another for what God has done. Let's just cover the anniversary weekend right now. Lord God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for Friday, just this day before the weekend. I just pray for your grace on each and one of the people here as they leave and go into the workplace, go into their homes, oh God. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you just give us the unction, the proddings of how to minister, how to really spread your light in areas of darkness, how to touch our friends, and also just to give us a faith, as we saw today, of the friends, to pray the prayer until it's done, Lord God, to really just bring these prayers before your feet with just unerring just determination and motivation, Lord God, and to know, Lord God, Lord Jesus, that you are the one who can save, you are the one who can heal, you are the one who can restore. And so, Lord, just to really place these at your feet and to just have faith and trust in you. So, Lord, bless the guys here as they go out. We just thank you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Have a wonderful Friday.